Greetings, dear Who's, and a very warm welcome from Whoville, where we keep your Christmas memories alive, just like the times you were a kid. I am the Grinch. No, I'm not the Grinch. I'm one of your hosts, Lasse Vogt.
And I'm your other host, Lyle Who.
Lyle, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah, together we are here to bring you another cheerful Christmas episode, right, mm-hmm. In the month of December.
Are we in December already?
Yes, we are.
My goodness, time is sure flying fast.
And I got to pick all of the movies we did, and I thought we should choose something for the month of December, which holds a big place in a lot of people's hearts for some reason. And that's why I chose 2000's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, directed by Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm. Ron Howard, brother of Clint Howard.
Who is also in the movie.
He is in the movie.
As usual. I think like the only Ron Howard movies Clint isn't in are the Da Vinci Code saga things.
Yeah, he shows up.
Yeah, he shows up. I mean, he even showed up in Solo.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I recognize him right away. Nice. He's like in a bar scene.
Yeah, those two go together hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. I mean, obviously we can't talk about the original Chuck Jones cartoon because that one is from the 60s.
66, I believe.
Yeah, and so, this one is both an adaptation of a Chuck Jones cartoon and also of the original book by Theodore Seuss Geisel, more commonly known as Dr. Seuss.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, yeah, it's pretty popular with people still since the day it came out, and that's the reason why we talk about it. Do you have any history with the Grinch, the book, this movie, anything?
I do have a little bit of a history with this book. I do remember watching it in school. They showed it to us like for, I don't know, it must have been like a rainy day or something, and they showed the movie. I, being the way I was, I don't like these movies.
These movies?
I don't know what it is. I don't like the have to suspend belief too far type movies, like the Dr. Seuss stuff, Horton Hears a Who, all of those things. I'm just like, not really my cup of tea.
Horton Hears a Who is probably the best movie adaptation we've had so far of these.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't live action. It was all animated, I think. So your budget, as far as that goes, you can do some pretty crazy things.
And also you can make the Who's not look creepy.
They did look pretty creepy in this movie.
We will get to that, dear listeners.
In due time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people loved this. I mean, they still love it. Like, it's still a Christmas tradition to watch this every year for a lot of people. And I watched it, I don't know how old I was, but I watched it just that one time. I was like, yeah, whatever. And this is, like, us watching it a couple of days ago in preparation for this episode. This was the first time watching it for me since that day. Like, I haven't watched this, like, in probably more than 15 years.
Right, yeah. This movie is more or less something that if it was on while my family was watching it, I would sit down and watch. But I wouldn't go seeking out this movie to put it on.
Yeah.
Not that type of movie for me.
This is another one of those episodes, I guess, dear people, and I hate that this is coming out around Christmas time, but where our opinion might differ from the public opinion, because it's not like we hate this movie, right?
No. I didn't hate it. It was fun, I would say.
It is fun. That is maybe one of the good explanations for this. It's a fun movie. Is it a good movie? I would argue not really.
Maybe. I mean, they did put in a lot of work to make it work.
You can clearly see the work, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, the main thing I couldn't get past was Jim Carrey's performance as the Grinch. Yeah, it was good, but he was pretty much just playing Jim Carrey. Because I throughout the whole movie, I was looking at him going, man, this is like a mixture of Ace Ventura, his character from Dumb and Dumber. It's all just mixed in.
The mask because of the green.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it reminded me of the most.
I don't, it's Jim Carrey at his Jim Carreyist, and he doesn't have anybody on set to rein him in, obviously.
Right.
There are a lot of stretches in this movie where they probably just kept the camera rolling and told him, go.
Just go for it, man. Just go for it. That's probably what happened. That's why the story got put along pretty well. I was kind of wondering, the name of the movie is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So how did the Grinch steal Christmas? Because we didn't get to see that until like the very end.
Until like more like than an hour in, he actually concocts the whole plan.
We were more or less just watching him be a Grinch, basically, the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this pretty much the whole first hour is just filler.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into the whole stealing Christmas thing, which of course, in the cartoon, they got a lot quicker to.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, it tries to flesh the story out to make it full length, which always is a problem. I mean, one thing Ron Howard said when he made this movie, he was like, he loved the Chuck Jones cartoon so much and thought it was so perfect that he actually said he wouldn't even want to try to attempt at making it better in a way, like like the cartoon. So one point is just like, well, why do you make it at all even? But I get that he wanted to do like his own spin on it. Like he wanted to try to do a different adaptation while still keeping it in look and tone and feel of the original and also the book. I don't know, it's a weird mixed bag. Like, in the whole Ron Howard filmography, which one sticks out like a sore thumb?
Probably because it's the most outrageous one, it seems.
Yeah, it looks like a weird experiment in a lot of ways. I mean, for the people who... For, like, the one guy who doesn't know the Grinch out there, maybe we should explain a little bit of a story.
Well, the synopsis for the movie is: on the outskirts of Whoville, there lives a green, revenge-seeking Grinch who plans on ruining the Christmas holiday for all of the citizens of the town.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. And
that is it. I mean, yeah, because he is revenge-seeking. We get a nice flashback of the Grinch at one point to kind of figure out what made him turn into a Grinch.
Yeah, but did we need that, though?
Because I think we did.
Because, I mean, in the cartoon and in the book, I think they give him just the simple explanation of he doesn't like the gluttony and stuff like that. He has very, very simple reasons to dislike Christmas. And even if there wasn't an explanation, that's right. Not the point, you know? The point is he learns not to hate Christmas anymore and embrace it. Like, we really don't need a reason for that. And in this, they give him this tragic, elaborate backstory, and I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, obviously, it's to pad the movie out, to make him more of a sympathetic character. But I don't know, it's for some people it might work, for me I really can't say.
Right, well, he was basically made fun of because he was different than everyone else. He was green. I think at one point one of the little kids said that he was the only kid with a beard, or a kid that had to shave already.
yeah, I mean, they turn it kind of like into an ugly duckling story. And
yeah, and then his love interest, I forgot what her name was, but she was there. He shaved at one point, and because he probably had nobody to show him how to shave, kind of cut himself all over his chin. He had razor cuts and everything all over his face, and all the kids saw that, made fun of him, and then he pretty much just went up to the mountain all by himself and grew up.
Yeah, we are drumming ahead quite a bit here, people, but when it comes to the storyline,
That should have been the first part. We should have seen how he turned into the Grinch, and then it could have gone into the whole storyline.
I don't know. I kind of like this kind of cold open where we think at first, like when you're not familiar with the Grinch, it's a nice surprise that, I mean, this whole contraption comes out, like run by Max the dog, and you think the Grinch is really like the scary monster.
Right.
And then it turns out he's this... Just this grumpy, weird-looking guy. I actually think that works as a introduction for the character. So just having that whole flashback as a prologue, I don't know if it would have worked better.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's kind of reminded me of the Batman movie we saw with the penguin. The parents didn't want the penguin. The parents didn't want the Grinch, and they went off to you know, do their own thing.
Yeah, you're right. That would have been a very similar start. Oh, boy.
Tying the movies together, but you probably won't hear the Batman movie for a couple of months, I think.
Yeah, as far as the storyline itself is considered, which I took from IMDb, and it's written by Film Freak, so whoever you are, dear Film Freak, with a very non-specific name,
yes, I hope Film Freak, thank you.
Yeah, I hope you listened to this and we gave you credit. Inside a snowflake exists the magical land of Whoville, and in Whoville live the Whos, and almost mutated sort of munchkin-like people, even though they seem to be like regular size and some of them are short.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed weird. There was like a huge height between them all.
Yep. I mean, of course, compared to us, they're
of course
tiny. Mm-hmm. All the Whos love Christmas, yet just outside of their beloved Who lives the Grinch. The Grinch is a nasty creature that hates Christmas and plots to steal it away from the Whos, which he equally abhors. Yet a small child, Cindy Lou Who, decides to try befriend the Grinch. And that's the plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a really simple plot.
Kind of, yeah.
Very good. But let's get into some of the starring people.
Okay.
We have Jim Carrey. He is the Grinch, of course. And Taylor Momsen as Cindy Lou Who? Cindy Lou.
Those names, man.
I know. Jeffrey Tambor as Mayor Augustus Mayhew. I mean, these names, man. Why does everything have to end with a who? Or begin with a who? Is it because they're all Whovillians?
Maybe, or this is like a whole town of inbreds.
Either way.
They kind of look like that.
So we have Christine Barbinski as...
Baranski.
Baranski, excuse me. Martha May Whoville? Whoever? I don't know.
I don't know. She's the love interest.
Oh, she's the love interest. Okay, I don't pay attention to anybody's name in these things. They're all... I'm more of a visual person, so I visualize the person, and that's who they are. I'll come up with their own names. And then, because I do that, I don't know their names in the show, which is kind of weird. We have Bill Irwin as Lulu Who. Molly Shannon as Betty Lou Who. Clint Howard, of course, we already talked to, as Hubris.
Kind of like the mayor's assistant,
yes,
I think.
Mayor's assistant. Josh Ryan Evans as the 8-year-old Grinch, who I'm pretty sure we talked about in a Halloween episode.
Yes,
a while ago.
He was the dummy, the dummy Steve, whenever he wasn't a puppet.
Steve Urkel. And it was featuring Jeremy Howard as Do Lou Who. I don't remember that one. Who was that? Drew Lou Who.
He's one of the older brothers of Cindy Lou Who. And I only mentioned that because I recognized him. He would later star in the Michael Bay-produced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies as Donatello.
Oh, nice.
Just a little trivia for you people.
Yeah. And we have Anthony Hopkins as the narrator.
Yes.
Who I did not know that was Anthony Hopkins until I looked it up.
I think he's also featuring in the opening credits, but I recognized his voice right away.
I didn't. But we have also featuring Kelly, a female dog as Max. Why did the dog have a billing in this thing?
Most dogs do.
Really? I never noticed that.
Most dogs do in the credits, yeah. On IMDb, that high, that was actually pretty amazing. I mean, the dog is one of the main characters, basically.
Yeah, doesn't say anything.
And he looks like, I guess because I've never seen that kind of bred of dog before, so I guess to make him look like more like the cartoon, they seem to have given him ear extensions. Looked like it.
It did look like that, because those ears looked too cartoony for a dog.
Yeah, it looked really weird. It was released in the US on November 17th in the year 2000, and in Germany on November 23rd of the same year, with an estimated budget of $123 million. The domestic gross was $260 million and $345 million worldwide, making it the most successful Jim Carrey film and the highest grossing Christmas movie since Home Alone.
Wow. Since Home Alone, and that was, what, 90? So 10 years later?
Yeah. Interesting.
Very interesting indeed. It currently holds a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I can't see why, but I thought people liked it.
This is better rated than Hook. I can't believe that.
And that's based on 131 reviews, with an audience score of 55. So the audience didn't really...
audience and critics.
They kind of agreed on this, I guess.
I guess.
Jim Carrey shines as the Grinch. Unfortunately, it's not enough to save this movie, one critic says.
If the critics' consensus, pretty yes. much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. You'd be better off watching the TV cartoon. So, I don't know. I never saw the TV cartoon one.
I didn't either, to be honest. I mean, I know some clips of it, but that just wasn't... That's not, like, part of a German culture and stuff like that. But actually, they do a nice little callback by casting Anthony Hopkins as the narrator, because the narrator of the original was Boris Karloff.
Right.
So, they had, like, two actors who were also kind of, like, known for horror stuff, because Anthony Hopkins had, like, that Silence of the Lambs revival.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah, this was actually... this won an Oscar for Best Makeup by Rick Baker and Gay Roe Ryan, and was nominated for two more. Best Costume Design by Rita Reich and Best Art Direction by Michael Korenbluth and Meredith Boswell. I can see all of those nominations, and also the winning one, because the makeup, sure, the Who's look freaky as hell.
Yes.
In this.
They were adults. When they were younger, they kind of looked normal.
Yeah, this is actually also kind of like explained in the movie, and I missed it. I looked it up later, and that's actually, they grow into their noses when they get older. So I guess it's part of puberty.
Maybe.
But as freaky as the Who's look, the Grinch looks amazing.
Oh yeah, he does.
That's a great suit. That's a great mask. We will talk about that later. So I think... and also, like, the production design is interesting with the costume design. I mean, it's certainly very, very imaginative, so I can see all of those nominations. And, yeah, the movie was also nominated for two Razzie Awards, Worst Remake or Sequel and Worst Screenplay. I can see both of those as well.
I can see those, too. So, yeah, that's pretty much a lot of information on the actual movie itself.
Yep, indeed.
Let's see. Where do we go from here? Do you want to do some trivia, or you want to get into some of the movie plots that we liked? Where do you want to go, Lasso?
I think we can do the trivia first, and then kind of like make the wrapping up stuff and stuff. We get more into detail and stuff.
Perfect. So let's get into some trivia. The scene where the Grinch is directing his dog on how to be a reindeer was actually Jim Carrey making fun of Ron Howard. Was it really?
Yes.
It was imitating his style of directing, even wearing a similar cap.
Yes. Yeah, I recognize the cap. I was like, this can't be a coincidence.
Doesn't Ron Howard have like a master class where he teaches directing?
He does.
Yeah, I've seen the commercials for it on like Facebook and stuff. So I guess I can kind of see that.
Yep, indeed. I think you should read the next one, because I got to read the long paragraph, because that's kind of like, that's something I wanted to talk to.
You got it. Jim Carrey spent 92 days in Grinch makeup. Really? That long?
Yes.
He was spending 3 hours in the morning getting in and 1 hour in the evening getting out. Carrie became a Zen master, I guess, that you would have to if you'd have to sit there for so long.
Yep.
So he was sitting in his makeup chair for that long. You have to be able to, you know, get out of your body.
Oh, yeah.
To thank Carrie for his troubles, Ron Howard even put the full Grinch makeup on. He put it on and for one day and directed in it.
Yes.
So can you imagine that? Ron Howard directing the movie in the Grinch outfit?
I want to see a picture of that. There has to be a picture of that somewhere. Please,
let me,
please.
Let me look. Did you already try looking?
No.
Let me try looking while you do the next one.
Okay. The next one is, the Hoover set was built mostly on the back lot of Universal Studios behind the Bates Motel. During a break in filming, Jim Carrey surprised and scared tourists on the Universal backlot tour by running out of the hotel, wearing a dress and brandishing a knife. Nobody recognized him, and the tour guide at Universal Studios will tell you the story when you pass by the hotel on the backlot tour. I have probably heard that story, but don't remember it, because I took the tour in 2007 with my family and saw both the Bates Motel and the Hoover set in person.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes around in that place.
I think there are some pictures, like one of those actually, so scroll up a little bit, because it kind of looked like the Grinch wearing like a cap, and so scroll up a little bit more, like the one in the middle, like right,
this right one right
there.
Here.
Is it that? Looks like, it looks a bit
like... It looks maybe.
Like a click on it, let's see.
Oops, wrong one. Let's see. This is...
Is that him?
No, I don't think so.
to bed.
This is somebody else in the Grinch.
Because he also has the cap on.
Let's get the cap. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, here he is right there.
Yeah, I know, but like Ron Howard with a Grinch suit. I was looking for that.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything. I don't see anything that clearly shows that. There's just a lot of pictures of different people in Grinch outfits. And
yeah, you would imagine somebody took a photo. Who knows? Maybe we find it later.
Yeah, maybe there's something out here.
But yeah. That little trivia for you. Funny that I saw part of the Whoville set. Nice. It was kind of like a little bit far away. But I could recognize it just fine.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. Several years later, Jim Carrey would go on to star in another Dr. Seuss adaptation, Horton Hears a Who, providing the voice for Horton.
Yes!
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was actually kind of amazed when I found that out. I was like, oh, okay, nice. And nice. Another one is, and we are quite shocked about that, Eddie Murphy and Jack Nicholson were considered to play the Grinch.
You know, I was talking to my wife about that while the movie was going. I can see Jack Nicholson as the Grinch. I can't see Eddie Murphy as the Grinch.
I don't know, with a kind of like Eddie Murphy roles he did, like something, if he brought kind of like an Axel Foley mentality to the performance. And I could see him in that role. It would have been different, of course.
It would have been very different.
But
with Jack Nicholson, I think it would have been more sinister.
Oh, totally.
Way more sinister. Less goofy, less Jim Carrey, more Jack Nicholson, I guess you can say. Jack Nicholson, the Shining. Can you imagine that? Here's the Grinch.
Oh, God.
Man, I can totally picture that. So the last one we got here, for a while, Tim Burton was considered to direct, but had to decline due to conflict with another movie. Which movie was that?
I don't know. At that point in time, I think it could have been Planet of the Apes or Sleepy Hollow.
One of those two.
Yeah, one of those two.
But his version would have been much darker, with less sympathetic Grinch.
Maybe that was the time when Jack Nicholson was considered to star in the role, because they worked together twice at that point before. Nice. So I think maybe he, because yeah, Jack Nicholson did makeup jobs with Batman and also in Master Tag, so I guess that might have been one of the Tim Burton touches, but when Burton dropped out, maybe that was the point Nicholson dropped out. I'm not quite sure if those instances are related.
Well, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense for them to do that.
Yeah, it could be. So let's get into some of the details about the movie. We both made notes because we hadn't seen it in a while. One thing I have to get out of my system right away. Yeah, this movie is produced by Brian Grazer, so of course it shows the Imagine Entertainment logo, and that one is the longest freaking logo in existence. I think they actually make it longer in the which movie was it? In the Da Vinci Code movies. Because it's like this drop of water falling down, and then it forms into like this kind of like pond or something, forms the logo, and it takes forever to form.
Takes forever. Well, yeah, that's where they get you.
Oh, man. I mean, I love when they do like some logo variations, and they do that quite often with the Imagine Entertainment logo, but it's such a long logo.
Well, it is a long logo, but that's okay, because it only lasts easily less than a minute, but more than 45 seconds, somewhere around there.
Oh, man.
But the Grinch costume, I thought, was pretty good. They see the Grinch more, like, the way I saw the Grinch, he was more of a boogeyman than anything else. Like, he was like a creature, like a Bigfoot, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, there's even like a photo in like one of the Whoville newspapers where we make fun of a Bigfoot,
the Bigfoot
picture.
Sighting, yeah.
That was actually pretty nice. Yeah, because he's really like the boogeyman, because he's a known figure, and it seems like he sometimes goes there to the town, just terrorizes them for fun.
Yeah, we get a little bit of that in the beginning.
Yeah, it's just like part for the course, I guess. Every now and then he goes down there through the sewers, I guess.
He's in the mail room and he's like throwing different mail into people's mail slots. He's like, blackmail, jury duty.
I was joking about like this is like the first YouTube comment.
Just throwing the things in there.
Faking games.
Yeah. But I really liked the little girl. Cindy Lou? Who?
I liked her too.
She was very sweet. Reminded me a lot of my oldest daughter when she was younger.
She was a newcomer at the time. She has like a introducing credit at the beginning, and she got a lot of flack for this. I guess that most people found her more cloying than cute.
No, she was very, very cute, very humble. She just wanted, you know, she wanted the Grinch to have a Christmas too.
Yeah, and I think she actually also really does a good job, and also it's helped by the makeup because she's the only who doesn't look creepy. Because
yeah, she looks normal.
The only person who has an upper lip.
Yeah, and she had like the weirdest hairdo. I was looking at my wife saying, "Yeah, we should do that to Kalexi." Just have her go all weird.
The hairdo was also like nominated for a negative award.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was cool. Man.
Like, that was nominated for a negative award. Her singing, her musical number was nominated for like a negative award. And so she got all the flack. And I was like, man, she's just a kid, you know?
Leave her alone. She grew up to be a nice looker, though. I remember seeing her in other stuff, too, later on in life.
Isn't she, like, part of a band now?
I think so. I remember she was on that show Gossip Girl. She was in that one for a little bit. She was the sister of the nerd kid.
Okay, see, my brother's more familiar with that show than me.
Well, I only watch it because my wife watched it, and I'm in the same room. But thank God for our phones. So, at this point, this is where Cindy falls into the mail, into like the mail hole or whatever it was. I don't know what that thing was or what it was doing there, but she falls in, and the Grinch was just gonna leave her, but it wasn't until Max
is
all like,
done.
Yeah, Max is all like biting him and trying to keep him there to help her get out. Eventually he does, so the Grinch isn't so bad, I would say. Well,
yeah,
the dog isn't so bad either.
Yeah, they established it early on that he has a soft core. Like I said, the makeup is amazing, and it had to be like awful for Jim Carrey to work. He hated it. Like, he hated it, but you can see that he's working with that suit. Like, yeah, he's embracing it. He's moving in that suit like he was born in it.
He's using the faults of the suit to kind of suit him.
And he has such an expressive face that he works through the makeup. Like, another actor probably wouldn't have been able to do that. But he is so expressive that he makes it work totally. It's great how he does it. Sometimes even the yellow contact lenses aren't real. They had to color his eyes in post-production because they were so hard for him to wear.
Mm-hmm. You know what you should do for one of your blog posts? You should do actors versus suits. Because I'm pretty sure it's not the only time. I'm pretty sure RoboCop had a problem with the suit, too. It was too hot. You couldn't do anything in it.
Actors versus suits, it sounds very interesting.
You should definitely do that. I gave you the idea. Go right ahead.
The perfect counterexample is Mike Myers in The Cat with a Hat.
Yeah.
Because that looks like he's visibly uncomfortable and he's restrained by the suit. Yeah. It's working against him. It's totally unconvincing. I mean, that movie is freaking awful anyway, but...
Yeah, that's another movie that I want zero to do with.
Yeah, thank God we don't have to do it for any of the shows. I mean, we could do it as a horror movie because it deserves an R rating.
It was weird. I saw probably 5 minutes of it, and I'm like, nope, and I just pretty much got up and left.
That was the first experience of me as a kid watching a movie in the theater and realizing it was a bad movie.
Yeah,
that was the first time. I actually got out of a theater and had a headache, a splitting headache. And I was pretty young, and that was the first time I noticed that there are bad movies in this world.
There's tons of them. But, well, okay, let's go back to the Grinch. Did you notice that at one point he was eating glass?
Yeah.
What do you think he was really eating? Because there's no way he could have been chewing on glass.
I think it was like some kind of like fake glass made out of sugar, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, that could have been it, like some candy or something.
Yeah, it was also colored glass, so it's I think that's easier to reproduce in that way.
Yeah, because I was seeing him chewing on that, and I'm like, man, I know it can't be glass. I just know it can't.
Knowing Jim Carrey, how much he gets into character with all of the stuff, like remember Man in the Moon and stuff like that, where he just was acting like Andy Kaufman. You know what? I wouldn't put it past him if he actually ate real glass.
He's that type of an actor, people.
Yes,
he likes to get really into the role.
Yes, he is. Oh, boy.
Yeah, what else did we have, though? We had that cymbal monkey. That you didn't like?
Yeah, the big symbol monkey who looks creepy.
My wife's favorite toy because of her grandpa.
I made a very raunchy joke about that. while we are watching. Can I repeat it on this show?
Let's say no.
Okay.
But that same monkey, I mean, it's the same monkey that they use in Toy Story 3 for the alert monkey, and he's just staring at the computer screen, the monitors.
Yeah,
it's and when something's happening, he goes all wild. That's funny.
It also features briefly in the first Conjuring, sitting around in the Warrens' room where they keep all of the haunted stuff. Of course, they would have a monkey like that.
They definitely would. It's scary.
Who thought up that design?
I don't know, but it looks sinister. Like it just looks sinister.
Whoever made that originally hates children.
Yeah. But, I mean, they use them really well in Toy Story. That's like, if when I see that monkey, it's the perfect, like, alert thing. When something's happening, it has to be the alert.
They made great use out of that, yeah. I enjoyed the monkey. They use him for some jump scares of that.
Oh, yeah. That's, I don't know, it's weird. But...
Sometimes the Grinch is breaking the fourth wall.
He does break the fourth wall quite often.
Like two or three times.
Yeah. Why is it even needed, really?
No, it's just, I also think that was just Carrie improvising.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, nobody else does that. I mean, kind of like the dog does it once when the mayor kisses his butt.
What's a dog?
If the dog looks straight up at the camera and his eyes get bigger. Oh no.
That's weird stuff.
Yeah, another thing actually I found out, which I didn't put in the trivia, this was the last job of cinematographer Don Peterman, who passed away in 2011.
Aww.
And because he injured himself on a different set, and I think he couldn't even quite finish the job on this one. And he worked with Howard before on Cocoon, and also shot Adam's Family Values and Men in Black for Barry Sonnenfeld. He was nominated for an Oscar twice for Flashdance and Star Trek IV The Voyage Home.
Oh, nice. Well, Adam's Family Values, there's another actress who was in that one too. The love interest. She played one of the camp counselors in Anna's Family.
Yeah, right.
I could always tell by that voice. That voice, she just has that voice where I can tell. Mostly probably because of the Addams Family. In that one, she screams a lot, or she has a really high-pitched voice. So whenever I hear the voice, instantly know it's her. Instantly.
I mean, the cinematography in this is weird. Actually, the whole look is weird because I remember this being a lot brighter and nicer looking, and now watching it on your big TV, this is
Shh, don't say I have a big TV.
This is a really kind of ugly looking movie.
Yeah, probably because it was a DVD too. It wasn't a Blu-ray or anything.
No. That's really not the reason. Because we watch other DVDs and stuff on as well.
When we first hit play, I thought the same exact thing. I thought this movie looks terrible.
It looks weird. Like it
very
looks
grainy.
It looks grainy. It looks like they smeared Vaseline on the lens. The colors are muted. You have all of these weird wide angle lenses and Dutch angles going on. It's like even visually, it looks weird. Like the muted colors especially. It's almost like you're watching it through a dirty window.
Yeah, in a way. I don't know. The storyline was funny. Saved it, I guess. Because I did laugh at some points when, for some reason, he wins an award and he shows up to Whoville.
He gets nominated as the Holiday Cheermeister because Cindy Lou wants him to be a part of all of this. And so, kind of like his ego drives him to go to the celebration. And then he gets a little bit into it, at least.
He ends up wearing, like, this I Love Xmas sweater. They like, throw it on him. He's in the conga line. He doesn't want to, and then he does. He gets all into it. When he wins the bag race, it goes in slow motion. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, with it, like, dum, 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 music.
Yeah. Everything seems to be going good for the Grinch, and I was thinking, you know what? Something bad has to be happening to him pretty soon, because he looks like he's having a lot of fun. Somebody gives him a what?
A razor.
Oh, a shaving razor.
Yeah, a shaving razor. And he gets remembered. And then he remembers all of that stuff.
And then he goes all wild. He goes all crazy and pretty much burns down the Christmas tree. Yeah, he cuts the hair of the mayor.
Yep.
That's fun.
And
then he tries to get away in the little car. He gets inside the little car and he tries to get away. He could probably run faster than that car's moving.
Yeah, if this... There's one. Also, he tries to get a taxi, and he's like, "Taxi!" And he runs and runs right by him. He's like, "It's because I'm green, isn't it?" That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but after all that madness, they like the whole town ends up hating the little girl for inviting the Grinch, and all that stuff, and she just wants everyone together for Christmas. That's all she wants.
Yeah, he burns the whole tree and it just disintegrates.
He burns everything. He burns it. I thought that's when he stole Christmas.
Before he steals Christmas, he assassinates Christmas.
He assassinates it. That's good. But at the end, they all end up hating her and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, also, we forgot to mention before, the 8-year-old Grinch is portrayed by Josh Ryan Evans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a puppet that looks like, oh god. I was like, I think, what did I say? There's one comparison I made about the puppet. If a baby Grinch, yeah, the baby Grinch looks like Gizmo and Gollum had a baby.
Yeah, that little baby Grinch.
And there's one funny gag before that, because they tell like this Cindy Lou kind of like plays the journalist and goes from door to door and asks the people if they remember the Grinch when he was still living in Whoville.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them can, and then they tell her about the day that I guess all babies come down from heaven.
Okay.
And then there's one funny gag where like one of the babies lands in front of one door and the father comes out like, "Honey, our baby is here. He looks just like your boss."
Oh, funny stuff.
Yeah, that's some kind of stuff for the adults in the audience. I enjoyed that. But yeah, when he after he assassinates Christmas, he builds all of his sleigh stuff in like 4 hours.
Yeah, it seems like he has a really fast turnaround when he's building whatever it is, that contraption he's building.
And again, like in the cartoon, he gets the idea for dressing as Santa Claus and stealing Christmas by looking at Max, who looks like he has like a snow beard on.
Yeah.
That's from a cartoon, I remember. And
yeah, I have written down here that he gets the idea to dress like Santa. Then there seems to be another Santa.
Like, there's
there a real one?
There's like a real Santa? There's a real Santa in this universe.
Okay.
Which is kind of confusing.
It is a little bit, but
the whole movie's confusing. The specific who Santa, or is that the regular real Santa? Does Santa like also visit all of the
multiverses
in different snowflakes, different multiverses, stuff like that? Wouldn't it be amazing if they made like an Ant-Man sequel and he stumbles across who?
He's like, "Hey, what's going on here?"
Oh boy.
Oh man. But the Grinch, he starts going into people's houses and all the Whoville people. The first house he hits, he throws moths in there and he sucks up all the Christmas. He sucks it all up with like a vacuum or something. It's awesome.
Yeah, we do a lot of callbacks to the cartoon. That stealing Christmas montage is pretty enjoyable. And then again, he shows a little bit of heart when the first house is Cindy's house.
Yeah,
for some reason he doesn't recognize him, and
I thought that was weird.
I mean, at one point she straight up sees his face. It's stupidly done.
That's not a face that you would forget.
No. And she's actually Santa, don't forget the Grinch and stuff like that. That warms his heart a little bit, but he continues on with it. And after he steals all of that, the who's coming out of her house singing actually Boo Hoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all mad, of course, especially the mayor, and then the father of Cindy Lou is just like, "You can't destroy Christmas, you can't steal Christmas, it's right inside of us, it's not about the presents."
Right.
"I have everything for Christmas right here, my family." And I mean, it's kind of like the original message, but it's...
Well, that's a good message.
It is, but it doesn't really work here, because they are angry and bitter before they start being happy and cheerful despite the presents and stuff being gone.
Right.
And in the original, it's just, you know, they are just happy regardless. And that's what the Grinch taught the Grinch, that, you know, Christmas is a little bit more. And this actually, yeah, this is a big difference between stuff that works and stuff that doesn't, because the point where he stands up on the mountain, he hears the who singing, And he looks down, and there's this very, very quiet scene where he's just, maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And it's a very nice scene. Like, the James Horner music is great in that. It's very, very, it's very sweet. It's very emotional. And right after that, like, his heart grows big, and he keeps screaming and yelling again. And it kind of, like, destroys the whole mood they set up before.
Oh, that reminded me of something that made me laugh really hard when he was up on top of the mountains and he was looking through a phone book and then he yells, I hate you!
I think he goes through the phone book, I guess.
Or whatever it was he went through.
He starts with A and it's like, Arabs who? I hate you! And then he continues with the other ones.
That just killed me.
That was really good. I was laughing. I do that all the time, you know, just yelling out of my window who
yes,
I hate.
It sounds good.
I think everybody does that.
I know. People, all these dang who's.
All the who's, all the humans in our world.
But his heart grows big and he feels sad that he stole Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go take everything back. And then, of course, Cindy, who is on top of the sled and it's about to fall over and he needs to save her. He does.
He gets jacked up on steroids and lifts the sleigh up in the air.
Sleigh up with all the toys, the decorations, everything.
And then they drive down, and he's right behind it on skis, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a fun sequence. Then they return to the city, and he tells the police chief, I guess, like, I stole Christmas, and I'm sorry.
Oh, he said sorry? Then he's all right. That's
yep,
it.
Yep.
No charges filed against this guy.
Nope.
That's it.
Yeah, when he celebrates Christmas, he invites them all to his cave, and they have a big feast. They cut up the roast beast, as they call it, which has like six legs.
Oh, nice!
Oh no, it looked both delicious and unsettling.
Oh, and he got the girl.
The old girl who actually the mayor wanted to marry her, but yes, she had to decline and said, "My heart belongs to the Grinch." And then it pans out. It shows the snowflake again.
Yeah, because you see where Whoville is.
Yeah, you see where Whoville is, because in Horton Hears a Who, it's on top of a flower. Of course, it's like in a speck of dust, which makes me wonder, like, when eventually that snowflake's gonna land somewhere and melt, and then all of Whoville will get flooded.
Yeah, it would, or it would, you know, completely disappear. But I think, with how fast-paced life is there, it's probably, you know, a blink of an eye and it's gone.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the messages in Horton Hears a Who. I mean, I like the idea. I really like it. It's very imaginative.
Well, some people say that we're doing that right now. We're just some speck in the universe, and then eventually,
that's right. We will be, our time will be over in a blink of an eye in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's quite a scary thought.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the philosophy of stuff in the universe, what else do we have to say about the Grinch?
I don't know. I'm kind of split on it in a way, because I think, like, my attitude towards it hasn't changed much after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still like it's still, like, you know, some parts are kind of annoying.
Oh, it definitely is.
It's really, like, it's very, like, with this kind of broad, stupid slapsticky humor, which just, you know, which doesn't cut it for me if it's used poorly, and this one uses it poorly. There's the sweet message in it, but it gets kind of lost in all of the stuff. I really don't, you know, I wished I would like the look of this, but like I said, the muted colors, they killed it in post-production, I think, because
yeah, a little bit.
Originally it had to be very bright, but they tried to make it kind of like gritty and realistic looking, and that doesn't work at all. I still like the look and the layout of this world, like all the clouds you can see in the background and the hill. I expected any minute to see Jack Skellington up there, like, and since I am dead, I can take off my head. You know, the hill kind of looks like that.
Right.
But still, like, the music works for the most part. I really liked the orchestral score by the late, great James Horner, who we lost a couple of years ago. He was one of the great ones. Another movie where we have to say somebody who was associated with it died.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we have to say that all the time.
And, yeah, in every single episode, there seems to be somebody who has passed. Yeah, well, this was the 90s, 20-some-odd years ago, almost 30 now.
Exactly. And still, I really don't like The Who's all that much. Like, despite them
as
looking,
characters?
As characters, yeah. I find them like weirdly annoying for the most part, and very bland, especially like father and the mother. Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't all this Doctor Seuss stuff like really small, really fast children's books? Like, there's no depth to any of these characters?
No.
So that's probably it. They're probably, Doctor Seuss probably made them as throwaway characters, and they're trying to make meaningful characters out of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're good messages in those, but they're just designed as certain characters he comes across. That's why I'm I will come to that later. But I really, despite the fact that he's way over the top, and sometimes he can be a little annoying too, I actually really enjoy Jim Carrey in this. I think he's entertaining, at least. I think
he's always entertaining.
He is. He has some really good lines. You can tell that despite the hell he must have suffered in that suit, that he is having as much fun as he possibly can. They should have gotten a director who reined him in a little bit more, because it's just, for the most part, it's just him weirdly improvising and having spastic attacks. And I don't know, that doesn't work always, but it's a very physical performance, and to a great extent I actually really enjoy that one. I enjoy his relationship with Cindy Lou Who, even though it gets into a kind of like a creepy territory sometimes, because it looks like he's running around naked for most of the time.
Well, he is, because at one point he puts on clothes.
Yeah, he puts on clothes.
And he puts on a, is that Lederhosen? Then
he puts on Lederhosen, yeah.
And then I looked at Lasse.
Yeah, oh, there's something for you there. And I was like,
they bring it back to you, buddy.
Oh boy, I bet. I think those were actually meant to be like the Austrian type of Lederhosen, because there's this yodeling guy.
Oh yeah,
who he snatches away like it's a Muppet Show with his big stick, and with his hook. And but yeah, one of the great gags is he, like, there's a small table with some stuff laying on it, and he tries to take away the blanket. And he pulls it away, and all of the stuff stays on the table. And originally, I read about it, originally it was supposed to fall over, actually. And he did it so well, that was totally not planned.
Oh, wow.
But it all stands, and so it was improvised, but he goes back to the table and destroys the whole setup. That's one of the best gags in the movie.
That was pretty funny. Mandy laughed out really loud at that one.
It was really good. It's similar to a gag in Ghostbusters, where Bill Murray's like, "Hey, I wanted to try this. And then he and that was also improvised by him. And then he pulls the cloth away, and then it's the flowers are still on it.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice holiday movie. So if you guys want to check it out, I give it the stamp of check it out if you want something to watch. I probably personally would never watch it again. But it was good. You have to watch it for a good watch.
I guess so. And also, because at this point, when we record this episode and while it's out, let me see when it actually comes out. Oh, yeah. Because at this point in time, the new Grinch movie by Illumination, with Benedict Cumberbatch in the leading role, has still been released. But at this point, we haven't seen it yet. So we will see how that turned out. Yeah. At this point, I've seen it when you hear it, but I haven't yet. So we will see what they bring to it, because they also they really don't tell you anything about the plot, except he hates Christmas and he steals Christmas in the trailer. They show the whole Christmas stealing stuff in the trailer. And he doesn't sound like Benedict Cumberbatch at all, because he has to do an American accent. Why do you even hire an actor of the caliber of Benedict Cumberbatch when you can't even recognize his voice?
Right.
And there's one funny gag in the trailer. Did you watch the trailer for the new Grinch?
No, I did not.
There's one funny gag where he just, I think he plans on spying on someone's house, and he's like with his little dog, he's like, "Let's go," and then he's going through the snow, and every step is like And then he turns around to Max. This is the loudest snow I've ever heard in my life. That's the only gag that was good in the trailer. We will see how that turns out. I'm sure it will make like $1 billion, like everything Illumination puts out.
Yeah, we will see in time.
Yeah, but so far this one, it's still a tradition for some people to watch it every year. I can't blame them, you know. It's kind of like a fun movie, and if they get into the whole holiday spirit because of it, that's nice at least. I mean, it's an entertaining movie. In my opinion, it's not really a very good movie, but it has some charming scenes, it has some good laughs. It has some interesting visuals in it, so if you haven't seen it yet and you're curious, or if you haven't seen it in a while and want to rewatch it, maybe you will agree with us. Maybe you will see it's the biggest piece of crap ever, or maybe you will see maybe you will say it's a brilliant masterpiece. Who knows?
Right. Who knows? But yeah, I think we're done with this one.
I think so too. Yeah, we talked a lot about The Grinch, and it gave us some more than we expected, and also a little bit less.
Yeah. So if you want to watch it's not necessarily 100% 90s because it was 2000, but I'm pretty sure it was filmed in the 90s, so it still counts for the podcast at least.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you'd like to send us any questions, comments, or anything like that, you can go ahead and send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. That's 90s for 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. We're also on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. And please, if you would like to support the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because those do really help us get seen.
Indeed. If you want to find my stuff, I'm on Facebook and Twitter at LasseVogt. I write German soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. My regular podcast is called Fans About Films. You can find it on SoundCloud and iTunes. And I have a YouTube channel, That Deppard. Go over there and please go to us, leave us a review. Like you said, everything helps, even the negative ones. But what do we have to complain? Except for that we made fun of a movie I'm sure you all love.
Yeah. We did, but it's okay. We're not going to love everything. We're going to like most things. So go to another episode that we love it and gush all over it. Cool. All right. So that's going to do it for us. And we will see you again next time. Have a good night.